People the divine mission. The more ones that are from the Tashuk in Novi that says, well, I'm just going to sell us share by you might have a lot of Kola, you might have a lot of yourself. And the next one down the stairs, one who comes and I say, there's on two lot, and lo you might, lo you stop. The Masha, and that Gemara is bothered with the Tashuk. Why the Gemara has to quote from the Tashuk in Novi? Why not quote from the Tashuk in Chumash? It seems pretty clear that there's a need to come to an Israel here. So I'm trying to give a standard tariff that the Gemara needs to say, I think it was a Dvar Mitzvah. And of course, you can come as one might have perhaps insisted that it's only Tisiso. Rashi writes, Tisiso, Tishakasta, Kilkabos, Kuminyana. When you want to come. But whenever it's a Machan Mitzvah, then maybe then it would be Mitzvah. That's the Gemara says, I think it was a Dvar Mitzvah, there is still an Issa. That's the standard answer that our friend gave. But even the Machan Mitzvah, the still an Issa, and you have to dust the camp by Iskadein the buzzard, by Iskadein the flowing, as the student said, if you have to count by having everybody give some object and then count the object rather than count the people. The Gemara says there in the beginning of Amalan Hamamune in Yuma that the use of the count not only applies if you want to get a sum to know how many people, that's how I want to count how many people there are in this room. Not only is that also, even just to use numbers, the Gemara says as well. Let's say the Gemara says, we're not really interested in counting how many people. But I'll say, you start from the number 28, and whenever we reach number 45, he's going to get a prize. So you start saying 28, 29, 30, 31, so the other one's going to get a prize. That's also an issue. He's not really doing it because we didn't really count how many people there are. The Gemara says that's also an issue. The Gemara says used to put out their thumbs, or fingers. Used to put out fingers and used to count the fingers, not the people. The Gemara says they did that in order to avoid the people. Even though they're not really interested, or let's say there's a group of 10 people around in a huddle, like when they play football, I think, they're standing around in a circle. And then I say 56, and you start counting from number 1. I'm not interested in counting how many people there are. I just want to get to number 56. So the Gemara says that's also awesome. Therefore they had to stick out fingers, to count fingers rather than people. You're not permitted to use a number on a body of a Jewish person. Even the number is not for the purpose of getting a sum token. I don't know, there's a lot of literature. The pastors I think is there should be on. There's a lot of literature in recent years in Eretz Yisrael. In Eretz Yisrael, they wanted to make the make. On different occasions, so the question the Rabbanim wrote essays about this: when is there an Ishtimim, when is there not an Ishtimim?
So, you know
what? Even just assigning a number to a person,
let's say,
supposed
to be a number,
that's an idea.
Who has his proof of work. I don't know. It's very unclear in the Gemara.
They sent me a form, and how many people in your household? And I don't go 1, 2, 3, 4, and I just know
that I'll know it in your head.
Right, and I write down 5. Mm-hmm. Send it in, and they add up all those. So that
the pastor should be Musa. The Chayyati pastor should be Musa. The thing is that the some say over here, the Maharal Mitzvah quotes a Letish Tanchuma in the beginning of Pasuk Tisiso. The Rav Yishalim who discussed this too. The Maharal Mitzvah quotes a Tanchuma that the issue over here has nothing to do with whether you're counting people or you're counting Tzoloim or Bozek or money. It's unrelated. Whenever you count the Tzorech is Mutter. Whenever you count Shalom, the Tzorech is Osir. When you count the Tzorech is Mutter is Osir, even if you count people. Count Shalom Tzorech is also even if you count Bazar, even if you count Ayyidei Tzolayim. That's the whole issue. I think the same Chumash that you should count after by giving Machta Shekel Well, Abraham negative traders, and sounds like when you count them as a negative, he says, yeah, that's a different thing. You can count the people also. Then they have to donate stuff here. They have to give Masa Shek in order to present the negative. But it's not that the person needs to say that there's an issue to count. The way he learns Pshat in this process, it comes out that the kasha that the Maharshoy asks on the Gemara Yuma is Stamno kasha. The prophet doesn't say there's an issue to count at all. It just says, when you're counting the people, ask them to give a donation, so there shouldn't be any magate. We then negative credit stuff. You can count it whenever it starts to make counting. But if you give that stuff, there's a different stuff that to present the name. When it's a lot of stuff, then there's no head to the count, even on the days of Amacherim, or even are they giving it to some? Anyway, it's a big discussion in recent literature. What the din is on taking a sense. Some of Shem saying the foolish on the pasuk Hadal lo yamid. Generally, we have a din that a person, when it comes to a mitzvah asay, we have a klal and Yimang Ksuba Zafnun. Hamavazes ayivazes yesim ichemesh. Yimang Ksuba Zafnun is speaking back Zafnun. That a person is not obligated to give more than one chemish mitzvah. But in the Ramah and Shulchan Aruch, both in the Arachayim Hilchasukah and in Yeredeyah, the Sinah Kutzun Zayin, by the Sinah of Yehoi Dal Yavah, the Ramah quotes in the Rishon that this klal applies also to all mitzvah. That one is not obligated to give more than one fifth of the total savings to fulfill a mitzvah. And this is manoi derech. If you won't hurry up to do the mitzvah today, you'll lose your opportunity. Let's say a person is in Alaska and he left his tefillin home. And he doesn't have any tefillin till later tomorrow. So he has the option either not to wear tefillin or to take the next plane to Honolulu or to whatever, to California, wherever the next plane is going. Some place where there is a Jew, and to get it there tefillin before the sun goes down so he won't miss the mitzvah tefillin today. So the Ramah says, well, it depends how much the plane ticket costs and how much money you have in your savings. If it's going to be more than one-fifth of your total savings, then you're not mechuyev to spend the money to do the mitzvah. When it comes to a life test, the person has to give kol and beifer. When it comes to a mitzvah test, so you have a klal, you're not mechuyev to spend more than plenty. The Rambam only has a few exceptions to the rule. He says that with respect to arbitrages, with respect to mechanikah, even an ani, hamachazor al apsochim, has to go borrow money, has to go snore money in order to fulfill the mitzvah. So that's an etiquette on the Rambam, understand that that's because these two mitzvahs require pisumi nisim. Somehow whenever pisumi nisim is required, you have to go out of your way and even spend more than chodesh. So Leipzig explained, the Rav explained what that meant. He thought, I'll see pashtus, what it means is that if you have a mitzvah that's l'shem pisumi nisim, he's sort of implying that just like HaKadosh Baruch Hu did an esther for us at one time, you should do an esther again. So you ask him to go chutz v'gidli atem, you ask him to do something that's the yaitzim in HaKlal, so then you're mechuyev to do it, even if it's the yaitzim in HaKlal for you. And respect all the other mitzvahs, and you lead a natural, normal life. You're not mechuyev to spend too much money to do the mitzvah. It's too difficult, you're not mechuyev. But with respect to mitzvah of Pirsumi Nisa, when you imply to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that just like he went out of his way one time, he should go through, he should continue only to go out of his way. So I'm not going to go out of my way and ask him if he should go out of his way. It's a little chutzpah. Maybe that's what the svar is behind that Rambam. The makkah for the Rambam is the first Mishnah in Avi Tzofim. The svar perhaps is that. But here, with respect to Hadal Lo Yamid, here some are trying to say that this is a special issue, that even if you can't afford it, the din of Hamavaz is Ayavaz Yesh Mechemish doesn't apply. That's exactly what it says. Hadal Yamid. Even if you're the poorest man in the world, you have to get yourself a Machta Shekhan and give it to the Beis HaMikdash.
Because it's not sharp that they got all the young, after, because they just took out all the people from out of the time, not too long ago, and anybody should be poor, certainly poor, that's where they can afford masses of shekel, would be
Apparently not everybody took. My Shalvina didn't take. He was busy taking care of Atma's kids. I imagine there were other people also didn't take. If he was that everybody should speak to it, that these are taken care of. That's why Gacham, other people took. Ramachiv, each and every person has to go take. The Zohar has to give the Zohar to give us the Shekel. Even if you absolutely can't afford it, you're going to go get it. But you say, no, if you can't afford it, you can't afford it. But if you're asking your chumash and your pasuk, like all mitzvahs, that's a machlokes in Yishan.
So what do you
calculate
the tefillah?
From your total savings? You know that his money is tied up in stocks and bonds and real estate. He owns all of New York City, so he doesn't have anything. I don't know. You have to look in the post and see what he's saying.
Your house is worth
$20,000,
right? And you have $10
in
your savings account.
Some of your cash in the house also.
Yeah.
Some,
sure.
I imagine so.
Then what do you do? Where do you live?
You borrow?
You buy
the mask and a half? I don't know. Mr. Brewer has a kasha against that din. The Mishnah Brewer in Hilchos Sukkot presents a kasha. There's a Gemara in Kiddushin towards the end of the first perek, but the Gemara seems to say, if I only had five shloim, and I didn't do Tikkun HaBen for myself, I was a poor, my father never made Tikkun HaBen for me. Now I'm by mitzvah, I have to be paid to myself. The Gemara says I have to give away the five shloim. Or let's say, if I only have five shloim and my wife does give birth to a baby, I have to give away the five shloim for Tikkun HaBen. As a shiloh, what if all I have a five slime and I'm a poor and I was never nivdeh and my son is a poor and he wasn't yet nivdeh. So should I give away my last five slime for myself or for my son? You might have a whole discussion in Panon. So the simple reading of Yomari implies not that he has 25 slime and he's only going to give five slime chaymesh of what he has. Sounds like he only has five slime, he's going to give away his last five slime. So the Tidyan HaBen Mitzvah, the Mishnah Guru says there, the Bihar Lach, the Tidyan HaBen Mitzvah, that you are mechiv to give away called home base for the mitzvah of Tikkun HaBen. That's what he times, doesn't the Gemara seem to say against the Ramah. So the Chazanish in the Sefer has a teretz. Yeah. So don't do it. So you're not mechuyis. What does the Gemara say? You're mechuyis. So you're not mechuyis. So you wait till you get rich. So the Chazanish has an answer on that in the Sefer and Yeridaya. And they quote the name Rav Chaim also, the same name. But when do you say Hamavazu, Balivazu, Yetim Chaimesh? He quotes the name Rav Chaim that somebody had asked him a question. The Gemara in Suvah, Daf Pei Vav, says, why is it that I'm obligated to pay back money that I borrowed to you? If I borrowed money, why am I obligated to pay? So the Gemara has a Machlokes Amoraim. Whether because Shibuda Deraita? Shibuda Gut? Shibuda. There's a Machlokes, whether Shibuda Deraita, Shibuda Lav Deraita. And the Shach passing that it's a stake in Dina, that's about Shiva Nechasim. What about Shiva Aguf? I'm buying a Shiva to get right to. What's that? If I borrow money, of course I have to pay back the money. And that's what one opinion of the Gemara is, Shiva to get right. And then the Gemara says, no, there's another opinion that not only Shiva to love their right to Shiva Nechasim, there's only the Rabbanim, even Shiva Aguf. There's also only the Rabbanim. So if I borrow money, I don't have to pay back only the Rabbanim. Then I tell you, I don't have to pay back the money. That's ridiculous. No, it is not. We have Pach Ogi Ben Yitzchak. It's a religious act, like you have to lay film, like you have to sit in soup, you have to eat matzah. It isn't a mitzvah. Where is the mitzvah is the question. The Rishonim suggests different mitzvahs in the Chumash. What's the difference between the Pirat Machod and the mitzvah? A Pirat Machod is a Shibra Aguf. So the Gemara says, not even if it's Tanim. But if the kid is not bar mitzvah, his father borrowed money, his father never paid back, and he should have a Tatan, if you insist that the Tatan has to pay. So if it's Nikah mitzvah, so then the Gemara says, Yashin Laban and Mezah mitzvah, you know. And if it's Nitam Shibuda Deraisa, Shibra Guf is Deraisa, then you make them pay. So the Yes of Chayim is Kasha. If you hold that Piyat Bachod is only Nitam Mitzvah, so what if I borrowed $1,000 and all I have is $1,000? So you should say, you only have to pay back $200 because I'm the value of Vaivasa Yes in the French. If it's Nitam Shibudin, I really owe the money, I don't have to pay back whatever I owe, I have to pay. But if you're going to tell me that Piyat Bachod is only a Mitzvah, we don't pass like that. He happened to pass him that Shibur HaGuf is certainly the rice and Shibur Nechasim is a machlokes and a stake of the dina that the Shach claims that it is. But if one would have held like that opinion in the Gemara, that Priyat Bachar is merely a mitzvah. So would anybody in his right mind say that if I owe $1,000 and I only have $1,000, he only takes 200 out of the 1,000? Because I divide the
nation of
Christ.
I mean, it's not so hard to say, but it doesn't mean that even if you take the 200, your hope will be gone. It means that when you got money later on, you would have to get to you get more.
So, and I mean, maybe it would be true.
Yeah.
Okay. Maybe it would be true.
Maybe not the time to just the entire money back.
So you don't even have to pay the 200 then?
Not yet.
Okay. So could it be? Maybe it could be. So the yes, our time thought that it wouldn't be. That he would have to pay the full
$1,000. Is a loan of $1,000, one loan of $1,000
equal to 1,000 loans
of
$1? That sounds like Machlokes HaTanoim later in Shulva. Machlokes HaTanoim, that sounds like that's a bit. And two opinions in Shulchan Aruch had a constant. Exactly about that time.
But wouldn't you say that you have a
so therefore it's mashma that if it's a mitzvah, then it would be seen as God looking for commerce, and it would be charged to pay for it. No, that's a perfect. I mean, from that perspective, we should derive that you always have to pay. Could be. Chaim told me that he certainly would have to pay even his last penny, even if the older Priyat Bachar is not a shibud, but a chmilian. And he gave the following story. The same as the Chazanish later wrote in his paper. That when you fly the cloud on the vases, I advise you, yes, that's when you're being mevazeh. Losh and Agmaris on the vases. I'm spending money in order to get to do a mitzvah. The Hainu, I have to spend money to get the first plane out of Alaska in order to get to a place where there's a pair of tefillin. I have to spend money in order to buy a lulav or an estrig or something. In other words, the spending of the money itself is not the mitzvah. Spending the money is a hachana in order to get to do the mitzvah. But if the spending the money is the mitzvah, then there wouldn't be any limitation. By Tigin Aben, in the case of the Gemara tradition of Tigin Aben, the giving of the five slums to the coin itself is the actual mitzvah. And the paying of the Priyas Bachar, the giving away the $1,000, is the mitzvah. It's not that that's a bizbuz in order to lead to do the mitzvah. That's what the Rav Chaim and the Chazanim both taught me, that this is fiction of coin shouldn't lie.
I thought you could do
it with
Michael Dukka. Michael Dukka is a different thing.
The mocker of the whole Ramah is that Gemara by Stuck, but by Stuck is a different thing. You only need to give if you can afford. Each person is a clear coin to how much you can afford. The homeless is how much you can afford. What a homeless is more of a shamna yayanagi is parakwadi. There's no mitzvah to give away all the money to Dukka and you'll be a poor man. That's not a mitzvah. But here is another thing. On Hamavaz is Avaz of Yet Mechadish when it comes to mitzvah. Yeah, if you say like that, if you say like Rav Chaim and Chazanish say, then we understand by Machshavah Shekel also that the poor man who has money would have to give his last penny. But what if the poor man doesn't even have any money? Would you say he's mechuyav to borrow money from the bank? That's possibly not. But that's what there's a machlokes the Rishonim on. Maybe still, maybe Havdalah Yamin has to go borrow money or Shnora money, whatever, and give the Machshavah Shekel.
Isn't Havdalah Yamin left
out? Yeah. The Ramban, if Tzad from the morning HaMitzvah didn't count to Hoshe Layam and Hadal Layam, why didn't they count it as a law? One could have learned Hadal Layam differently. You could have learned Hadal Layam that if you're not that the wealthy people shouldn't give more, the Machshavah Shekel, the poor people shouldn't give less. Even in the end, it's going to come out to be the correct amount of money. Let's say the Bezin determines that they need so much money for the Kabbalah Sefer, so the wealthy Balabatim will say, we'll donate more, and the poor people will donate less, and it'll come out in the end that the amount that the Bezin says they need for this year's Kabbalah will be raised. So that's what the Torah says. You're not allowed to do that. Everybody has to give the same amount. But if a person can't afford it, for one perhaps you think that he's potter. That's a machlek, is the Ramam in the smart. How do you reach Shad Hadala Yam? Maybe it means that even if you absolutely can't afford it, you still mechuyav to go get money, borrow money, and donate it to the Machshavah Shekel.
It's not
talking
about money, but by the loan. Like by the film, if a person has this much money, and the person of more than a fifth to buy the film, or to get the film, so then he doesn't have to spend that money. But by the fiat soul, there's a contra mitzvah. So he'll have to pay one fifth of whatever he has, and then he'll have to pay another fifth of whatever he has, and if you keep doing that, as it goes on forever, eventually it's from his zero.
I don't know, really? Yeah.
If you would say you only have to pay a fifth, I'll have to pay a fifth now, so he pays 200. Now I have to pay 300, and I have to pay up the total, so he has to pay another fifth, and another fifth.
Could be.
I have to pay 200, and I have to pay 50.
Could be, I don't know. Am I going to buy money to learn some of my some it's understood if I can afford it. Some it's contingent. The Raman has a claim for mitzvah, so he calls mitzvah for sure. Mitzvah says contingent. Let's say pigeon up then, it's only mitzvah for sure. If my wife has a baby boy, have to give a pigeon up then. If I only have daughters, there's no pigeon up then. A market is, if you have a house that has a roof, you have a bin of market. You don't have, so you're not pleased to build a house. And in order to have a free of market. Here also, if you have money to lend, somebody yes, then you lend. If you don't have, you're not going to lose something.
The Islamic Church is going to be permitted
nowadays, so they were supposed to give it to today, you're not permitted to be Mafis 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 Mashekel. If you're Mafis Mafis Mashekel, it's paid to be something. We have a minute, you can give Zechel and Mashekel. That's why there are more stresses. You should make sure that you say Zechel, because there was a Machloikis in the Gaon, we discussed it. Machloikis in the Gaon, somehow that it's forbidden. Observe such a meaning because people will think that it's Magdish Kotchen Machut. People will be loyal to Hegdish Magdish. The Ramah says you should be Machish Azech and Machash. We donated to stop it. God originally instituted it to donate it to the yeshivas. To support the yeshivas. And today, give it to any, whatever stock it is. The Torah has then been of Kiddush Yadayim V'Raglayim. Shnayim says, Koyim Dorothy Avoidim the Beis HaMikdash Shulah Ruchut Yadayim V'Raglayim. So the pasuk says, "Is mitzvah b'day shemayim v'lo yamusu." And the Gemara learns that from Sukkim that is mechal avoda. Avoda is possible even to the yezer. Kiddush dayim raglayim has to be done from a tishoris. The Gemara and Rachman learns that from Sukkim that the water from which the kohen pours on his hand has to come from a tishoris. The Chumash describes it here, but the Gemara says it's rubbed up kikir. There is a machlokes the Rambam and the Ramban a Chumash where the lachatchila is the requirement to kikir. And it's only good b'riyadr if you use, that's how the Rambam says, l'chachil ni v'kiyam, b'riyadr di mo'ra z'at m'shukim, and if you use anything, so it's good. And Ramban HaChumash, and this is Parsha, disagrees with the Rambam. He doesn't quote the Rambam, but in the footnotes on the bottom, they quote the Rambam. He disagrees with this opinion, and he says it's Mefurish that it's wrong, because the Mishnah Yuma says that the Kengodol on Yom Kippur used to wash from the Kitzon Shol Zohar. So why would he violate the mitzvah l'chachil on Yom Kippur? Why should the Kengon violate the mitzvah l'chatzchila to do Kiddush Dayim Raglayim for Nekiyah? But the Reichik thought that if you look in the Rambam's words slowly and carefully, you thought that it wouldn't be a kasha. The Rambam doesn't say you have to use the kiyah l'chatzchila. The Rambam says l'chatzchila you have to use meha kiyah, the water from the kiyah. That's what the Kengon did on Yom Kippur. He didn't take water from the faucet and then put it in the klishar. It says he took water from the kiyah. And he poured it into a klisharis, and then he poured it on his hand. That's the Rambam also means that that's good machatzila. The Rambam doesn't say that machatzila you have to use dafke the kiyah to kiddush dayim raglayim. You should machatzila use meha kiyah. But after being the kaddish in the kiyah, then you can pour it into a regular kli, and then do the kiddush dayim raglayim from a different klishar.
How did they do the wash? I think the kiyah was like a faucet, and they turn around and put their hands on it. I mean, how
is it
like duchening, the way they wash? Someone else has to wash their hands?
They
used
to wash their own hands.
They take the same one hand and wash.
They had a clear, I think so. I think they had a clear.
But it's here, isn't
it? More of the structures how they did it. I don't think so. I think there was a clean. I think they had a tilt over the clean to pour the water out of the pan.
That's
what
he said,
that
they
should
do their hands and feet
at the same time. Yeah, there's a machloket satanayim in Zrochim exactly how he's supposed to do Kiddush Yadayim V'Raglayim. The Gemara says the Kiddush Yadayim V'Raglayim has to be done in the Azara Bamida, because you're not permitted to sit down in the Azara, unless you're Lavach Mimacha Bezovit. So they all had to do it Bamida. So the Gemara asks, how can we possibly do it Bamida? So the Gemara says, that's what one Tana holds, that they had to do it differently in order to be able to stand. The other Tana says that Smicha is Tamida. But if you lean, you know it's impossible to do Kiddush Dayim Raglayim in a difficult way without leaning. So the other Tana holds that Smicha is Tamida. That's the original Machlokes Satanan in the beginning of the second Perek in Zrochim, as to whether Smicha, that's not the original. That's the only source. That's in Shulchan Aruch, they quote all over whether Smicha is Tamida, Smicha is Kishiva. If you lean on something, to the extent that if they would remove it, you would fall down, whether it's Dina Kamida or Dina Kishiva. The whole marker of that whole discussion in Shulchan Aruch is this Gemara in the second Perek in beginning of the second paragraph of Zrachma, the Gemara has the Machlokes HaTanaim. How exactly do they do Kiddush Dayim Raglayim? It hinges on this issue. If you hold Smicha Kamida, then you can do it even in a more difficult way. If you hold Smicha Yeshiva, then you have to have Daf Kamida. then you have to do it in a way that it's shy to do everything by mitzvah. How do we pass through with a sniff, come in a sniff, and teach you the translation of but there is a thing, we were just talking about it the other day. There is a halacha that Eidim have to give Hagorah to say this Ba'amidah, and the Dayanim have to be Makabali Eidim to Yeshiva. The Gemara learns that in the Pasuk, the Yom Lishnei Hanashim, Asher Lahem Hariz, Lishnei Hashem. So the Yom Lishnei Hanashim, Elohu Eidim, Lishnei Hashem, Elohu Hadayan. That we derive in that Pasuk, that's the Gemara, Shavuot Zav Lam and Amaral, we derive in that Pasuk that Eidim have to be Ba'amidah, and Dayanim have to be Yeshiva. So in Hilchas Eidim, the Shulchan Aruch Paskin, and Cheshem Mishpah, that if the Eidim are Bismicha, it's okay. And in Hilchas Dayanim, it says, if the Dayanim are Bismicha, it's okay. So this is my answer to Hasira. How do you, Zaki Shkoro Dei Trey, how do you Paskin? You Paskin Bismicha, you see Bismicha Samim. So this Ma says the Terah sounds like Abshepel. Ma says the Terah, well, it depends. If the Dayanim are sitting, then the Eidim can be Bismicha. If the Dayanim are Bismicha, then the Eidim has to be Bamim. What kind of terrace is that? Manam Shach, what is it? It's near the Kamini, it's near the Tzitzit. So Avraham said he thought that that was a very good terrace. He thought that it wasn't a pshat. He thought that the din is that the Eidim have to show Kovod HaDayanim, have to show Kovod HaTorah. The Gemara says it's not a din like it. Tzir Shofar has to be Bamida, Tzir Shofar has to be Bamida. It's not a din that you have to have the mitzvah of Haggadah Seydus has to be Bamida, and mitzvah of Kabbalah Seydus on the Bezin has to be Yeshiva. The Gemara says that the Talmud Chacham will come to testify in front of Bezin, they testify the Yeshiva, because they said the Kovod HaTorah is Odin. The mitzvah of Kovod HaTorah that the Talmud Chacham shouldn't stand in the presence of the Bezin who are less learned than he is. The Talmud Chacham is a greater in learning than the three members of the Bezin, so then he should sit down when he gives the Haggadah Seydus. So since when do you find a din that out of Kovod HaTorah, let's say the one who reads the Megillah, the Rambam says the one who reads the Megillah, the Tzibur has to learn Bamida out of Kovod HaTorah. So what if he happens to be a very great Talmud Chacham? Moshe Rabbeinu is reading the Megillah. Mordechai himself is reading the Megillah. So you say that because Mordechai is reading the Megillah, he doesn't have to stand out of Kovod HaTorah. Did you ever hear such a thing? So that's why she thought the fact that the Gemara says there is Shavuot after the Kovod HaTorah of this, that implies, like the smart seems to assume, that the whole mitzvah of Eidim giving Haggadah Ba'amidah and the Dayanah B'Yeshiva, that in itself is based on the principle of Kovod HaTorah, that the Eidim and the Balaginim have to stand out of respect for the Bezin. So that's what the smart says. Well, it depends. The Bezin has to be in a more comfortable position than the Eidim. So if the Eidim are Ba'amidah Mamish, standing up straight like soldiers, then the Bezin can be Bismicha. If the Eidim are Bismicha, then the Bezin has to be Mamish B'Yeshiva. There, because there, it's not really a din of Amida versus Yeshiva. It's a din that the Bezin should be in a more comfortable position, in a more relaxed position, than the Eidim. That's out of Kovod HaTorah. But in Kol HaTorah Kula, let's say Akidah Zayin Raglayim, or by other cases, we have a real din of Amida Mamish, then it depends on the Machlokes HaTanaim that the Gemara has there in Zohar. But it's Michas Kamida, it's Michas Yeshiva. The Tumul, the Shulchan Aruch had a pass, the Nesik had a pass. It looks like a type of disaster. Could be. Yeah. For different people. Then Torah has a din of ketores. You have to make ketores. Because it says you have to have memulah tohah teiva. The very next parasha is Shemen Amishcha. Before you get to the first, you have the din of Shemen Amishcha. What is the Shemen Amishcha used for? It was used, number one, to be Mekadesh the Mishkan, number two, to be Moshech the Kohen Gadol, and number three, to be Moshech the Melech. The Gemara is only Melech and Malchim Beis David. One is not a Melech and Malchim Beis David, not. Very interesting. Shemen Mishchas Kodesh Yi Yezer Yi Yodera Sech Meshemen HaKodesh. One of the Shemen HaKodesh is Moel, it's real Hegdesh. So we understand why you use it for the Mishkan and why you use it for the Kohen Gadol. Kohen Gadol also has to do with the Mishkan, Beis HaMikdash. What does the Melech have to do with the Beis HaMikdash? So you see that the Malchim Beis David has some special status in the Beis HaMikdash. The Gemara has it do. We just mentioned, Eng Yeshiva Bazal or Malchim Beis David Bavach. Somehow the Malchim Beis David do have some role in the Beis HaMikdash. So we're learning through this, beginning of the second paragraph, The Gemara says that Amalak Shemach Lal Kolo Dain Kolo Dain Kolo. So we mentioned the different Biurim that the Rishonim give, but some said because Mordechai writes, because Amalak Malach Malach Hamlucha, that the Melech apparently from the mouth of the Zohar only really represents HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Kula Hashem Hamlucha. The Baruch Hu is really Melech. The Melech from the mouth of the Zohar represents the Baruch Hu. But somehow it has to do with the Beis HaMikdash. It's a very a fun concept to us because we don't have a Melech. But apparently has something to do with the Beis HaMikdash. The Gemara has a Dinah, a Melech, then Melech doesn't need the Shikha B'Shem and HaMishcha, only when you appoint a new Melech, unless there's Machloikis. The Gemara says in Chayriyus and Tritus, unless there's Machloikis, then the Melech also needs the Shikha B'Shem and HaMishcha. But if there's no Machloikis, then you're not allowed to use the Shem and HaMishcha from Melech then Melech. What about the Melech HaMashiach? Ashayla, some Mechabrim talk about it. What about the Melech HaMashiach who will be will he need Mashiach B'Shem and HaMishcha? Is that why he's called the Mashiach? He's going to need Mashiach, but he's a Melech Melech all the way back. Some of them will come, there won't be any Machloekis about him. Let's assume, there won't be any Machloekis. So, will he still need Mashiach B'Shem and HaMishcha? Says his father and his grandfather and his great-grandfather were not functioning as a Melech because they were the Hatzokia. No one was functioning for all those years as a Melech. Or do you say no, that he will have the din of a Melech Melech, and there's no Machloekis that he won't need any Mashiach?
Every Malchus doesn't have
Or even if there were a few generations, 2,000 years or so, when nobody was serving as Melech, what will it then be?
But if he's not being yarshed directly from his father, then he's being appointed. Right, then he's being, let's say the son is a Melech, right? So then he's being appointed as Melech. So therefore he would need to be appointed. But if he's being yarshed, so then he's a Melech. So if his father was a king,
that's the son. What if there was a gap in between? Did he need Mashiach or B'Shem HaMishcha? Yes. Mar says, Tengol Ben Tengol, it's only Mashiach. No, it's not. Tengol Ben. Mar knows how to be Tzutzim. Benisa, Benela, once he does need, so it's an Issa to be Moshe. That's a Shaila, that there's Machloikis, that he's Moshe, that Yishu Machloikis, he's Moel, Yemoyal and Hektis, you use the Shem and HaMishcha, shouldn't be an Issa Mila. And my Lord is out on the Pasuk. And whenever there's Machlekes, then after the Yerusha doesn't work, so his status as Melech is not clinched unless he uses Mashiach of the Shem and HaMishcha. The Chumash says what they use the Shem and HaMishcha for, to be Moshe for the Klei HaMikdosh. We were discussing a few weeks ago, what about the Kapiris? It doesn't say the Pirish, whether the Kapiris needed a separate Mashiach. No? The Chumash is unclear. It doesn't say whether it's a separate Kli or not. It's the Machlekes and the Haskinah and the Aruch HaNeh. Zot Adiyun and Yishin Svarim, what about the Paroiches? Paroiches treated as part of the Mishkan? When they did Mashiach on the crushing, I think they did Mashiach on the crushing, no? It doesn't say the same. I think they did Mashiach on the crushing. So that covered also the Mekadosh on the crushing, covered also the Paroiches, or no? Parochas is somehow separate, and it needed some kind of a separate Mekadosh. Shabbos, so what could a separate Mekadosh be? Some wrote Divetur about this. What could a separate Mekadosh, if you need a separate, do you need a separate Mekadosh for the Parochas, and what was that Mekadosh?
In regards to whether they would make it to the Parochas, they would be
willing to have the Mekadosh. The Zohar says not, that the din of Meshichot Mekadosh is only called Akilim Shot HaMashah. The Kanyeh Vachavidot Mekadosh. Avoid those machanas, yeah.
Somebody,
you know, they would
put up a new, they would fix the walls, they replaced something, I heard, and it wasn't
used for the
also
not the time.
Also, doing
a whole
in it would be,
Probably. Then the Torah has a din of, Ktoiris. The Ktoiris was scored every day, twice a day. On the Mizbach HaKhtarit. It says in the passage it is Mulach, so HaKhtarit Mulach. What does it mean in Mulach? So there's different Shatim over here. Rashi learns Mu'urah, because Kitakum Mu'urah. It does mean that they put in salt. And others say no, mumuluk means that they put in salt. There is a din, I'll call kabon chatakir melech, you have to put salt on every kodesh. And it says melech ben is ready to akos. It says matit makar, that they put in melech ben. So there's a machleke to rishen in the puri. Galdinei is talking about this, and other mechabim talking about this. There is a mefurish and machleke to rishen, whether the melech ben is, was for the purpose of treating some of the component parts of the Torah, or was needed for the Haktoras Haktoras. Like it says, Haktori and Arasof HaMerit is not. Boris Kashin Alam Hubo, the Meshap is Gazos of Tishtein Noah. Yen Kafis Alam Hubo, the Gadish was Gazos of Tishtein Noah. The Yen Kafis was the treat of Tipori. And Boris Kashin was also the treat of Tipori. The Tais is Yishanim, in Croesus, it says on the bottom of Croesus that the Melech Tzemes is also to treat one of the other Sanumani Haktoras. But after they treated it, then they didn't mix in any Melech Tzemes into the whole mixture. And other Rishonim said, the Rambam commission, others say no. It says Mumunot that you have to salt it. According to Tzemes, the family of Dinos go, Hakol Kabbonot Hatakev Melech only applies to Kabbonot HaMizeh Hakim. Doesn't apply to Kabbonot HaMizeh Hakim. It says in the Tikkun Masoret, Noson Badvash, Stola. Why is Stola? That's how it continues. Elohim Noson Badvash, if they would have put in a little bit of Dvash, Ein Olam Yochel Lamen Bitnei Reich, it would have been dissolved. Everybody would mamish love the Reich. So why is not the Lamen Bavim Badvash? Why don't you make the Dvash? Because it's a din. Chosavach Advash, Vashakir Emen Rishav Hashem. It's an Isra. So what does it mean when Nasma Dash Sola means Hashkina has a topic on this line in the Brisa? What does it mean if you put in Dvash, you're not allowed to use that Torah because if you'll be mocked with that Torah, you'll violate the Yisrael Kosovo Chabash Lashakir in the name of Yisrael Hashem? Or does it mean more than that? Not only will you violate the Yisrael, Sola means that it will be possible, Mamish, you won't be Yisrael in it. Not only will you violate the Yisrael Haktoros Advash, the whole carbon of the Torah will be possible. This is his topic. Rav Dovla pointed out in Shurim, the quote from Shurim on Kinsis, that there seems to be a machlokes with the Rambam and the Goyim. If you have a carbon and you mix it in for a dvash, but then part of the whole carbon enough. As the Rambam writes in Hilchos Shabbos, Rambam quotes the Gemara in Halachas HaPeiros, in Bava Basra, that you're not permitted to use the Kiddush, Yayin Shekosu Lanasa Hadabi HaMaseach. There's a comment on that Gemara, what wine is that referring to? Yayin Shekosu Lanasa Hadabi HaMaseach. Then he says, the Gemara comes to the conclusion that it only refers to Yayin Shehelas Mokhin. The wine is moldy. So the design is to use it Hadabi HaMaseach, so it's the same design, you need it. The Rambam disagrees and says, and he holds that you take quotes to Gemara, that you take the Gemara literally, but Yayin is possible enough, it's possible the Kiddush, even if it's not designed with the Yayin. As for example, Yayin Mevushal. If you have wine that's Mevushal, it says on the stills that all the wine is Mevushal, except for those that have the extra. So all the wines are Mevushal, unless your wine has an extra. So the Rambam Meshita is the Rambam Negan Maragi thinking that the Yayin Mevushal is no good for Kiddush. For other places it would be good. But for Kiddush, the first toast, it would be no good. So then you got a topic whether for the, let's say, the father of the household recites Kiddush and all the other people just have a cup of wine and they drink their cup. So whether there, if one wants to be choshes to the Rambam's opinion that Yayin Mevushal is no good for Kiddush, but only the one who says the Kiddush Allah Yayin, he should have Yayin Shein Mevushal, or even the others for the first cup also should have Yayin Shein Mevushal. Everybody's cup is called Koshal Kiddush. Oh no, the other people in the household there is other curses. Other curses in the parish. If you don't have this, you don't have this din that whatever is possible in Asa Chagali and Mizbeach is possible for other curses. Other curses is good. That's the shahar. But the Rambam Shita, the Rambam Nigonim Ha, that's a Kiddush, Yayin Mevushal is no good because Mevushal is no good for Nisa Chagali and Mizbeach. But then the Rambam has a machlokes to the Goyim, and what if you have sugar added? If you mix in sugar, because sugar is a dvash. Dora Dvash. Rashi says Dvash is free, Lechom Mesik is free. Any sweetness that comes from free is considered Dvash. If you have sugar added into the wine, that should be this Shailah. What's Halacha? Nothing but Dvash. Solo. What do you mean Solo? So if it means that you can't use that wine in Yisra purposes because you violate the Yisra of Loisak Tiru by pouring that Dvash Agabi HaMizdeya, So by us there's no Isser. We're not making Kiddush on the sugar, we're making Kiddush on the wine. So the wine is kosher. Just the sugar you're not allowed to be Menasach HaGam Mizeach, but the wine part of the cup of wine would be good. But if you hold that, if you're also Madrash Psola, means that not only is there an Isser to be Makhtir the Ktoris because you'll be Makhtir the Dvash, but rather the whole Kodim became possible. Ktoris Yeish Vodvash, the whole Kodim becomes possible. But then the whole wine would be possible on Asher Hagadi Amizbeach. Even the wine part of the wine would also be noted. So then you wouldn't be able to use Yayin, wouldn't be able to use wine that has sugar in it for Kiddush, if one wants to be Machmas for the Sheet of Rambam the Hagadi. That's Rambam is going to hold that Yayin Ushal is no good. And then they have a further Machmas, but about Yayin, Shiru Vodvashu Pilpulin, whether that's good or not. Grapefruit you could use, yeah. Why? All grapefruit is Mavushal name. All grapefruit is Mavushal. Can you thought, no, grapefruit is full of sugar. No, the grapefruit is Mavushal though. Grapefruit have to cook it in order that it shouldn't ferment. In Marius, what about grapefruit that was not cooked and wasn't treated or anything, but it's not fermented? Can you use that for Nisach al-Gabi HaMizbeach purposes? In Marius says, you're not supposed to use Yayin. That's not, you have to, Hasat Sheikh Al Hashem, have to use the yayin that's sharp, that has a flavor like wine, not grapefruit. But the Yevit is good. But the Yevit, grapefruit would be good for neutral purposes. In the name of the Kiddush, it's even good for Hashem. That's called Yayin Shiroi, and Asaf Hagamim, just since the Yevit is good enough.
And so, what about grapefruit? Grapefruit,
because
that's just following
a half of the Alpi Pashas, that's the whole film. Rav Henkin made a tumul about it. He's saying that Rav Henkin Zechan Roch had quoted he dug up a Knesset HaGdolah. But no one did. Knesset HaGdolah quotes an opinion that when do you recite Bari Pri HaGrofen? When do you recite Bari Pri HaGrofen on grape juice, even though it's not, doesn't have the flavor of wine, that's only for such grape juice that was not treated chemically in such a way to prevent it from, now I'm drinking it, so it's not gonna go anywhere. This grape juice is not gonna go anywhere. But if I wouldn't drink it today, would it have had the potential of developing into wine? So there's a comment that it says, I don't know, it's one opinion that the only time you can say Bari Pri HaGrofen on grape juice, because the thing that the yine is it's such grape juice that had the potential to turn into wine. But if it didn't have such a potential because it was treated chemically, they're not. And it's not Bari Pri HaGrofen at all. So Shakon Li Vidvar, it's not Bari Pri HaGrofen. That's three times. I think in published such a minor many years ago, around 30 years ago, that it was really machmer not to use grape juice for Kiddush and Avdol and so on. Do not say Bari Pri
HaGrofen.
We do. We don't follow that, right? We don't follow that. He held that it's not. Is it really Haman Medina? When people come in America, they're mechabed with grape juice. It's like being mechabed with orange juice. I don't know.
Shouldn't sort of be different because if you put in an extra sum of stamina, then it wouldn't be good anyway.
If you put in an extra sum, it wouldn't be good. Why?
Because I thought it starts to 11, and then it comes to 11. It doesn't mean
that. I don't think so.
Okay,
that's what some have a time against us. Rabbi says that the two shotim that Min Hashkina has not Madash Tzola, whether Tzola means that the whole service is possible, or it just means that Lamaiti can't be Makhtar the Torah, because if it's Makhtar, you'll be violating the feature of Haktorah Torah Vash. Now, Rabbi said that's the identity of that Machlokes, the Rambam, who does my Kiddush, exactly dependent on the two shotim over here. The others had a time. I don't remember whether they said the time of name Rav Avla, or they have the time against Rav Avla, I don't remember. They had a time that maybe only over here you say Tzolo, that if you add on Vash, it becomes a Korban Shiyeshbo, Tzolo, Vash, and the whole Korban is called the Vash, because there by Tzolo, there is a din of Mamulah, that it should be Mu'ura. That whatever you mix in, that plays a role in the Tzolo, it lends them to become part of the Tzolo. So here, if you mix in Vash, and it'll be Ein Olam Yochalam and Mishnei Reicho, it'll add something significant to the Torah. So because of the din of Ma'ura, because of the din of Ma'ulach, and Ma'isei Rateach, so here it blends in to become part of the Korban. Let's say I have a Korban Mincha, and I put in a little sugar, and the sugar is just sitting there, it doesn't really blend in to become part of the Mincha. So maybe there everybody would agree that the Korban would not be possible. It's just a Mincha HaKtorah, not to be master it because you have drach, but it wouldn't pass the whole course. That's the shayla. One could be on a level of two stuff. The Tevner discusses it. Tevner has our Rebbeinu Shigemara Menachem. The way the Rambam, he shows the Rambam learned one shot and Rashi learned another shot to the Gemara. The Gemara saw him also about a Kodesh Shiyesh B'Sor Advash. But the Rambam's opinion is that a Kodesh Shiyesh B'Sor Advash is an Isa Haktor on it. The whole Kodesh has an Isa Haktor, not just on the Sor Advash. But if you have a half a Kishir of Sor and half a Kishir of the Kodesh, would you say that half a Mitzvah of Isa? The Gemara is also just half a Mitzvah of Isa in connection with Sor Advash. So the Rambam learned that it has nothing to do with half a Mitzvah of Isa. When you have a Chotzi Shir of Torah Zvash, even Kort Echad, one tiny little speck of Torah Zvash, mixed in with the Korban, and the whole Korban comes labeled as a Korban Shiyesh with Torah Zvash, and the whole Korban has an Yitzhak Torah. As long as the Korban has a Shir, you're not seeing the Tzara part of the Shir from Torah Zvash and the rest of the Shir from the Korban. The question, why don't you say Bottle Bura? I think it's making time that perhaps it makes sense why you don't say Bottle Bura, because you have a bit of Tom Kisha. Both are questionable. Just because it's nice and Tom Kisha, you say Tom Kisha. The Shem say you only say Tom Kisha when you're speaking about Mahola Tatura and Mr. Achiva. But if you're speaking about Tumor, you're speaking about something else, and you don't say Tom Kisha. The Rash says like that in Mishnah, it's going up. So why should you say over here that if you have one little speck of Shem Vash fell into a big carbon, that it's absolutely not Bottle at all?
Well, the question is not to.
So you say Nachman, it's Torah Zash, but if you say the Torah Zash is Bapu, then can you still call it a Kodesh Yehesh with Torah Zash?
The Torah Zash is not us, it's not. In other words, first you look at the Korban, does the Korban have Torah Zash? That's not a question of Yisrael. The question of Yisrael is, are you allowed to master this? It definitely contains Zash, the word Zash.
Mm-hmm.
So
the Gemara says, "Amdava Hakara is the Mashu." Something that's older, older, not about the Mizazet. And here the Torah Zash is not older. It's not something to be Mashu on the Mizazet. It's also that it's not Bapu.
But you were older.
It's not supposed to be older. But that's also, I don't know, maybe that's also called older. The Chumash has a din when you make the when you make the Shemen HaMishcho, you have to use specific Bistamim Rosh. Kimam Besim Achtitoh HaMishim U'masoyim. Half of the Kimam Besim should be 250, the weight of 250 Shkolim. Why does it say that half of the weight is 250? Let it say it should weigh 500. So the Gemara says that whenever you weigh Dvarim Shel Hekdesh, you have to have Hechreya. That if the Torah would say it has to weigh 500 shkolim, so you have to put 500 plus a little bit of mashu more. But now that it says machtiso chamishim amasoyim, you have to weigh 250, put one hechreya, and put another 250, put another hechreya. That's how the Gemara understands pshat in this pasuk. This din of hechreya may or may not have a shaykhness with the din of machtis hashekel. There is a din in the Mishnah in shkolim and in other places. The end of Torah, the Mishnah mentions it, that when you give machtis hashekel, you have to give a kalbon. What is the Kalban all about? So the Mechafkinach writes, the Lord Arichin said it's a major machlokes between Rashi and the Rambam, what the Kalban is all about. The Rambam, the Bar Sinura follows the Rambam. The Rambam learns Pshat in Kalban that that the common practice Bizmana Mishnah, Bizmana Bayis was that if you would take a shekel to the Beis Ham, to have to give a matzah shekel. So what if I only have a shekel? I don't have change. So if I go to the bank and ask them to change, they're going to charge me a small amount for exchanging the money. I give them a shekel, they'll charge me a penny for exchanging it. So if the Rambam learns, if two people give matzah shekel together and we donate one shekel, each one of us is saving money from the shulchani. Because if I would go to the banker to exchange my shekel into matzah shekel, I would have to spend a penny, and you would have to spend a penny. since each one of us is saving money, when two people together give one shekel instead of each one giving machta shekel, that there's a requirement that they should give a kalbon, that amount of money that they're saving because they didn't have to go to the bank to exchange the money. What kind of a din is that to have to give the money that they're saving if you can save money by hook or by crook to save the money? What, the mitzvah to lose money on the banker? The chachamim are running the bank, that they have to finalize everybody. So the Minhag Chinuch says he thinks that it's a din derabon. According to the Rambam, he can't see that it should be a din derabon. Are you in a violation of Harsha Lo Yarba? The answer is no. Harsha Lo Yarba doesn't mean that you're not allowed to give more than Maksan Shekel, but you always gave more than Maksan Shekel. The Rambam quotes the Mishnah like that. The Bezin, we discussed many times, the Bezin has to determine how much money they're going to need this year for the purpose of Maksan Shekel, and they have to divide how many people they expect they're going to give the money, and then they charge everybody accordingly. So it'll come out that Maksan Shekel this year was fixed by the Bezin $28.99. Not always going to be a Maksan Shekel ahead of the Shekel. The din is, whenever Bezin determines how much money it is, then you say, Harshal Ayarba Vadala Yamit. No one's allowed to give more than $29.88. No one can give less than $29.88. Whatever Bezin says, that's what you have to give. Well, let's say a person decides to become a Baal Tshuva at the age of 65. And then he finds out there's Man HaMikdash, and he finds out that there was a din of Machta Shekel, and he never gave Machta Shekel all of his lifetime. So there was a special box, special shoif on the Beit HaMikdash, where they put in Takman Atikin. Takman Chadatin, this year's Machta Shekel. And Takman Atikin, old Machta Shekel. For those who didn't give, from the past. So that the person finds out that the last 50 years he hasn't been fulfilling the mitzvah machta shekel since his bar mitzvah, he has to go give from all those years. He can't just give a machta shekel for every year. He has to look up in the newspapers how much machta shekel was every year. Every year it's a different amount. It's not the same amount in two years. One year was $19.85, one year was $15.21, one year it was $33.02. One year was $15. Every year it's a different amount. You have to find out how much it was for all those years and give accordingly. So that's the din ha'ashel ha'yarba. There's no kasha. How can a chacham make a din rabban? You have to give kalbon. How can you introduce a din rabban? It's in violation of ha'ashel ha'yarba. That's not the din ha'ashel ha'yarba. Ha'ashel ha'yarba means that because you're rich, you're not allowed to give more than the din requires. But if the din requires, the Bezin says, we want you to give kalbon, so that's how much you have to give. However much you have to give, that's how much you have to give.
But isn't that there for the same amount? If they give the kalbon, then that's giving $30,000.
Yeah, so they gave it in that if two people together are giving one shekel, they have to give a kalbon. If everyone's giving separate, they don't have to give a kalbon. So
they have to give $500,000.
No, that's the din. Hoshe lo yarba v'dalo yamin. You shouldn't have different amounts based on how wealthy the person is. But there are different amounts based on other considerations, like kalbon considerations. That does play a role. A big chiddush, but that's what the Minhag Chinuch says. But Rashi clearly doesn't learn like that. Whenever the Gemara talks about this, whenever the Mishnah talks about this kalbon, Rashi always gives you a different pshat. Rashi gives you this din of hechreya, that whenever you're weighing something for hechreya, you have to give always a little extra. So Rashi says, even if I'm giving a maksus on shekel, not the two people together giving a shekel and they're saving money on a tzvi of the bank, that they didn't have to exchange the shekel into a chatzoy shekel. Rashi says the private person is giving a maksa shekel, he still has to give a kalbon. A kalbon means a slight amount that's for the purpose of hechreya. And it's based on this din, based on this pasuk, machsiso chamishim umasoim. Rashi quotes that from the Gemara teaching that way, that you need a din of hechreya. But Rashi learns in many places that that's the whole yisoda din of kalbon by maksa shekel. According to Rashi, it could be that it's a real din derech. Probably would be. That the whole institution of Calvin is a din derech. Rashi comments on the pasuk. Rashi quotes in the Medrash, at the beginning of the second Aliyah. Ha'if kechal osel adaber ita b'harsin ha'shnei luchas ha'edus. That Moshe Rabbeinu was like a kala at the time that he got the Luchos Eidus. Why just like a kala supposed to be Mekushetes b'chof talik yishutin, Tamburim, the Sefer Yishai, so too a Tamachachim should be baki b'chof talik yishutin. For those who are aspiring to become Tamir HaChamim, should start getting to work, to learn the Chof Talik Yishutin, supposed to know Tanakh. The Machlok is the Mechaber and Ramon, Yerudei, beginning of Yerudei. The Beit Yosef writes that the Sheikhet has to be a Yedea Sefer, he quotes in the game, has to know a little bit how to learn, not only Hilchos Shechita, has to be in general Yedei Sefer. This is what the definition of Yedei Sefer. It has to be Baki B'chol Talos Tishkar Kvesh. And there are more right there on the Dark Commercial. He doesn't see one. He doesn't see what the need for that. But that's a sheikh. That's to be a Talmud Chacham. Tikkun Torah to learn from us. I'm not familiar with that. Sounds like a very great Kiddush. Whatever a person is learning, you should learn. Kolon Kolon Torah Kuvah. People have an obligation. Kolon Kolon Torah. The Tanoim had a dispute exactly why did Moshe Rabbeinu break the Luchas. The Gemara in Shabbos says that Moshe Rabbeinu also gimel dvar migaitel, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu was maskim al yodei. The Gemara presented that one of the things that he decided on his own was that he was dana kal v'chaymer, that the korban pesach is only one mitzvah, and it says in the Torah called benecha lo yechol benecha means a Jew mishin esnak ma'isav loviv shebashamayim. So here the Jews were mumrim. They were worse. They had worshipped Avodah Zarah. They had worshipped the eagle. They were mumum l'chol haTorah kula over here. So to give them the luchai, which is chol haTorah kula, is a kal v'chaymer that it's done. And the Gemara says the Rebbeinu Shem was masking with them on the kal v'chaymer. But only Pragyas, what kind of kal v'chaymer is it? Korban Pesach is only an isa to eat, and here they're not going to eat the luchai. So what's the Gemara holds that it was a good Kavachai? Yeah, that means you're not allowed to do whatever you're supposed to do with the Korban Pesach. Amum al Avodah is not allowed to do it. What are you supposed to do with the Torah? Learn it. So Amum al Avodah is not allowed to learn the Torah, just like he's not allowed to eat the Korban Pesach. Why? How did the Gemara know that this is a Kavachaymer? The Marshal, there's a din called an Echel Echel Bo, and the Gemara is talking this Medaik Bo Hu Ein Echel Avel Echel Hu B'Matzah Mor. That's okay. Eat Matzah Mor is okay. Only Korban Pesach is off. So how can an Echel Kal V'Chaymer from Pesach to Luchai, let's say Matzah Mor Yerchichu? Let's say all the other mitzvahs are Torah Yerchichu. And there's some special relationship over here between Korban Pesach and the Luchai, no? Stomach. Like the Meshech Chochma claims, Simcha has this finish that the Korban Pesach was the Korban Geiris. Mishchu Yidecha, Mishchu Kulachem Tzong, Mishpachot Secha, Meshach Tzorakot, Mishchu Yidecha Me'avid Zorah. That a Geir, Shin is Geir, the Gemara says in priest, it has to bring a Korban, Korban Oila. So the Geir who's in Geir and participating in Korban Pesach is relieved of that obligation. Korban Pesach is Oila. That's the finish based on a Mishnah Tzorah. It's an interesting Kiddush because it's again the question that we spoke about yesterday. The Mishnah never mentions this in. That a ger has to bring a korban. It's only in brises. The Mishnah never has it. So does that mean the Mishnah assumed that everybody knew the din, and the Mishnah doesn't hold from the din because he's bringing a raya from the Mishnah? But the Mishnah speaks about a ger and his guy bear pesach. He's assuming that the Mishnah holds from the din also. That a ger habol a ger and his guy has to bring a korban. Not just brises and perceptus. He assumes the Mishnah holds from it also, even though it's never mentioned anywhere. I don't think it's mentioned anywhere in the Mishnah. But he says the fact that the Mishnah m'sochim says that the Gersh and his guy bear Pesach can participate in Korban Pesach without having brought his Korban Ager, see that the Korban Pesach itself can be oiled as the Korban Ager. Apparently at this special din called Benechel Ayochel Bo, how can a Mumal Avodah Zarah, the Torah says a Mumal Avodah Zarah can't participate in the Korban Pesach. Korban Pesach is every year it's like a renewed Maisa Geris. Everybody has to be Megayer himself all over every year. Apparently Kuv is going to be Jewish even if he doesn't bring the Korban Pesach. It's supposed to be a Korban Geris all over again. And the Luchas apparently also. This is the Kesef Kiddushin for the Klal. It's not Same Mitzvah. Not Same Mitzvah like Matzah, like Mara, like other Mitzvahs. Except it's a more crucial Mitzvah. The Luchas means that there's a special relationship between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Yisro. That's what the Luchas is all about. You're going to give it to a Mumal Avodah Zarah. He's worshipping Avodah Zarah. So that's what the Gemara says, Moshe Rabbeinu was Dana Kal V'Chaymer, that he's forbidden to give the Luchas to Bnei Yisro. That's what some Tanaim say, that he broke the Luchas because he felt he's not allowed to give to Bnei Yisrael. Other Tanaim say no, the Beis Halevi points out. Other Tanaim disagree, they say no, that he dropped the Luchas. He didn't smash the Luchas, he dropped the Luchas, they became heavy. Why did they become heavy? Because when you carry these heavy stones, so it's very heavy to carry. But the reason why he was able to carry it was because the Luchas had an Ochi Hashem Lokech, the Aseret Adibus, to carved out Mishnei Evrei, Mizeh Mizehim Ksuvim. It was carved out through and through. So there were a lot of empty holes there in the Lucher. So there was hardly any stone. It was Parat Merubah Lo'emet. It was all empty space. But then as Moshe Rabbeinu was coming down Har Sinai, HaKadosh Baruch Hu caused an ash to occur. And there were Oisiyas Parachot. So Oisiyas of the Lucher disappears. So if the Oisiyas disappeared, then you have no empty space. And it's all rock again. It's heavy rock. How can he carry such heavy rock? So he dropped it. That's what the other Tanaim say. Machlegis HaTanaim, but Moshe Rabbeinu smashed the Lucher. Yashikach Sheshibarto. That's what this Tanaim says. The Baruch Hu gave him Yashikach Sheshibarto that he smashed it. And the other Tanaim say, no, Sheshibarto means that he dropped it. That he didn't smash it. That he dropped it. Who is the one who decided that the Lucher should not be given to Meir? So the Baruch Hu decided and Moshe Rabbeinu decided. The major Machlegis HaTanaim. The Gemara says in the beginning of Avodah Zarah that the story of the Chet Ha'Egel is not to be understood by Derech HaTeva. It cannot be that the Jewish people just had all the nisim and afloat of Yitzias and Shrine, Yitzias Yamsuf, with all the Yes and Makis, and then Maimon Har Sinai. Then they go and they worship Avodah Zarah. It's impossible. The Derech HaTeva. The Gemara says HaKadosh Baruch Hu suspended their Bechira Chavshit. Kodesh Baruch Hu caused them to sin with the Chet HaEgel. What in the world did he do that for? In order to lahoris tshuva l'rab, in order to teach Bnei Yisrael this important lesson, that even if everybody sins, it's still possible for everybody to obtain a kapara.
Why did Korah do that?
Hmm?
Why did they punish?
Good to kashas, very good kashas. But you have to understand the Gemara. The Jews wouldn't have done the sin. It means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to teach Bnei Yisrael. When he said, he wanted to teach Bnei Yisrael the lesson of Tshuva, that even if everybody, even if the Rov HaTzibur violates Avodah Zarah, it's possible for everybody to do tshuva, and they say you don't need it, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will forgive them. That's what the Torah Mina suggests in his faith in the Kor Baruch, perhaps is what's behind the opinion in the Rishonim, the Parshas Parah Deraita. The Vilna Gaon says that if the Torah Sefer, how can it be Parshas Parah Deraita? There's no Mokker in the Chumash. So the Torah Mina suggests, based on the Magen Avraham and Arachim Simin Samach, where he writes, that there's a Yalkut Shimoni where it says that the lane parshas Chet HaEgel once a year is a mitzvah and a teret, because it says in Chumash Zvom Zohar Eit Asher Ktachto Eit Hashem Lekecha Bamidbar. You have to remember the Chet HaEgel. And the Ramban in the Sefer Mitzvah has this topic, whether this is a mitzvah the Doros, or it's only Harosho to the Dora Mitzvah, that they should remember Chazei Hashem, that even though Hashem got angry at them, he didn't wipe them out, but no, it's a mitzvah the Doros to remember this lesson of Tshuva. Ramban has a topic, but the Magen Avraham quotes Yalkut Shimoni, writes in the Furish, that there is such a mitzvah l'doros. So then the Magen Avraham asks, how come we don't fulfill a mitzvah? Why don't we have a special kriyas parshas Chet HaEgel? We should have a special Esau Y Shabbos and a special Haftarah. The Haftarah of the parshas Chet HaEgel, make a special simus about it. There should be Chomish Parshia. So the Magen Avraham says it's a genai for Klal Yisrael that we should make a big simus about this. But he says everybody should have in mind, and they learn parshas Kisiso, everybody should have in mind that not only are they being yotze parshas Hashavua, they're also being yotze parshas Chet HaEgel. That's how the Magen Avraham suggests. So the Torah Mina suggests that maybe that's what parshas Parah is all about. What is the union of remembering Chet HaEgel? We should all walk around with a guilty conscience. We should all think that we are born in sin. Like the Yogi Avodah Zarah have such a notion. Everybody should walk around with the feeling that they're tamei, that we all sin with the Chet HaEgel. He says, no, the mitzvah remembering Chet HaEgel is to remember the lesson of tshuva. HaKadosh Baruch Hu caused us to sin in order to teach us the possibility of doing tshuva. So that's perhaps why Parshas Parah could be there, right? So because Rashi quotes the Medrash, Tovo Hemetz Kaneach Toaz Beno. The Paradumba was for the purpose of obtaining a kapara for the Chet HaEgel. But the Iker is not to remember the Chet, the Iker is to remember the Takana, that is Shasta Abatikun, to lay the Yud Gimel Midas, that Shasta Abatikun, after having participated in such a thing. That's the suggestion. Not always. Sometimes, not always. When it falls on Kippisa, then according to the Torah's name, it's a very, quite an interesting coincidence. Yeah, that doesn't always fall on Kippisa.
In fact, the Chumash later has, and so on. So the Rashi and the Ramban have a machlokes, what is this bris all about? So the Gemara, whatever Rashi and the Ramban write al derech hashan, the Gemara has that al derech hadrash another pshan. But this is the bris kruz of the Yud Gimel Midah, she'enon kruzus reikon. But it's both making a kruz of bris on the Yud Gimel Midah that appear in the few psukim, the three, four psukim before that. But that was the whole theme of the Chet Egel. The Chet Egel was to lead up to Yud Gimel Midah and to lead up to that kruz's bris. HaKadosh Baruch Hu made a bris on tshuva. But whenever the Jewish people do tshuva, the tshuva will be accepted, doesn't it? He'll forgive everything. Ena chayzus reikon means he'll forgive at least part, sometimes 1%, sometimes 99%, sometimes 100%, in between, whatever. But ena chayzus reikon, if a person really does tshuva and he recites the Yugim Amidah, he decreases the bris on it. Rashi and the Ramban have other pshat, Maldera Hapshat, what decreases business. But the Gemara seems to be the same, Maldera Hadrash, another level of interpretation in the Talmud. The meaning is that the lady lames the whole Chet HaEgel. You know, it's the Aliyah's Alak side of the end. The lady's Aliyah is so long, goes for pages. The Kohen also gets a long Aliyah. The Kohen gets a very long Aliyah, yeah, 4 pages long, and the lady
the
gets
lady
also 4 pages long.
It's a lady's the Kohen, I just like them with the lady's.
Why is it given to the Levites? That says in the Sfarim, in the Shulchan Aruch they quoted, because the Levim were the ones who didn't sin with the Chet HaEgel.
When
you read the Chet
HaEgel,
yeah. So we finished the whole Chet HaEgel, not to embarrass the guy who's going to get the Aliyah. Just, he's going to get the Shlishi, is going to be our Yisrael, so we're going to read Chet HaEgel, you were participating in it. So we have Kohanim and Levim read, the Kohen read before, and then the Levi has this long Aliyah. And they weren't involved in the Chet HaEgel. They should make our suffers. They should make our suffers before them. That's a minik. Sometimes we don't know what's a minik, what's not. Here it says in Shulchan Aruch, this is a minik. That you should finish the whole Chet HaEgel before you call up Shlishi.
So, the guys who lame, what we do, the Bakura, and Shunti,
that's the minik. That's the one who gets the Aliyah.
Let's say his mother.
He's a Ben HaHaben. If he's a kind of a lady, he's a Ben HaHaben. When he gives it, we're not sure. At the end of the parsha, Rashi quotes from his Gemara in Gittin on Daf Samach. Tov l'chos ha'advam ho'edah ki api advam ho'edah k'rat yitzchabris v'es Yisroel. The Gemara says, "Tov l'chos Adram Ha'ele" refers to Torah Shabbat. Alpi Adram Ha'ele refers to other Dvarim Ha'ele, not the same Dvarim Ha'ele. That's referring to Torah Shabbat. How do you read the pasuk? Tov l'chos Adram Ha'ele ki Alpi Adram Ha'ele Karati Itcha Bris. The Gemara says, "Karati Itcha Bris." The Ikar Kriyas Bris with the Jewish people was on the Torah Shabbat, not on the Torah Shabbat. What does that mean? It means that the Torah Shabbat, some Rishonim say, Nocher may also learn. The Gemara says, "A Nocher Yehoisik Bater Chay Misa." And Nochi is forbidden to learn Torah. The Tamei Shanim say that it only applies to Torah Shabbat. Torah Shabbat Sav, they're permitted to learn. Tanakh, they're permitted to learn. So the Ikir creases bris with the Jewish people is on the Torah Shabbat. See, Alpi Adram Ho'ele, Alpi means based on the Torah Shabbat, Karat Yitcha Bris Le'et Yisrael, that's the Ikir. So how do you read the word Ki? Sov L'chos Adram Ho'ele, Ki Alpi Adram Ho'ele. How do you read the word Ki? Ki Mishamish B'dalot L'shanim. So which Lashon is this? Oidum Eladaho, which Lashon is it? The Ibn Ezra has a comment on the Pasuk. The Moshe Rabbeinu is Mispalat HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And he asked HaKadosh Baruch Hu to be with the Jewish people. Kiyam Kishayorifu. What do you mean, Kiyam Kishayorifu? Because they are an Amkishayorif. That's why he should be with them. Doesn't read straight. But Ibn Ezra says that the word ki has another meaning. Ki means despite the fact that. That's the opposite from the word ki usually. Usually means because. This is because of that. It means despite the fact that. But it's not one of the four. Not at all one of the four Lashonos that he's more. Lashonos says ki mishamish dam shamish. More gives the four Lashonos. And Gam's in a different Lashon. The Avada Pesukim, the Ibn Ezra has another Mephoshim, Avada Pesukim in Tanakh like that, but the word Ki has a meaning of despite the fact that. So perhaps that's how the Chachamim understood this pasuk. Al derech hadrash, al derech hadrash is referring to the same thing. Al derech hadrash is referring to two different dvarim ha'ele. Ksav v'chol hadvarim ha'ele. Ki al pi hadvarim ha'ele karati yitzchabir shvashis. So write down the Torah shebistav. What do you need it for? Despite the fact that the increase of is going to be on the Torah shebistav, the Torah shebistav is going to be for the Yom HaSoylem as well. Nevertheless, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says he wants two. He wants the Torah shebistav and he wants the Torah shebistav. What's wrong, Taka, with writing down Torah shebistav? Why are you not supposed to write down the layout of Rashi? This is the Torah Shabbat. Rashi and the Pesach quotes from the Gemara and Gittin Daf Samach. It's forbidden to write down Torah Shabbat. I just manage that we all have the Torah Shabbat written down. So the Gemara says in the second Perek in Smura that it says, Last Hashem, the Torah Shabbat. And that's what they saw that the Torah Shabbat was being forgotten. So they were matzah to do an Issa. I'll be pashed. They were matzah to write it down. That's a simple reading in the Gemara.
Even before the Exodus Hashem,
right, Rashi says they had Megillah Storm. They always had. Everybody always took notes. Yeah. And the Rashi would appear that there was no Easter to write down Torah Shabbat. The Easter was not to transmit the Torah Shabbat from a text. Everybody can have the private text, but when the Rebbe gives the Shir, he should give the Shir Balpeh. He shouldn't read from a Gemara. He shouldn't teach from a text. That's how Rashi sees it.
What about the
printing
that people print articles all over the world? So what is that? I mean, the
head of
it
is
that Hashem, this is
Matya,
that now we can have
it if we feel like. Torah Shabbat says, you're afraid that it's going to be forgotten if there's a great Torah. If it's with Torah God. If it's not with Torah God, let that person wants to print the safe to get a shidduch. It's not that he's interested people should read his Torah. No one's going to read his Torah anyway. He just wants to be kind of Shem. He wants to get an increase in salary, and whoever doesn't print is not going to get an increase. That's a serious shayla. That could be that's an issue.
But you can just
the person has something that he feels is very important to be transmitted. It shouldn't be lost. So then there's a hesed to write down. Because like this, he's limited. He only has the people that he comes in contact with, and he can't keep on saying over his Torah Shabbat Peh. If he prints it, and then he can have so many more people read it. So he accomplishes Habotus HaTorah. But if that's not his interest, that's not what's going to happen, but then many Akranim hold that it remains in its Issa. The Ikradin is that it's awesome to write down Torah Shabbat Peh. And the Heter only is L'Shem Shamayim Eis Lasa. If it's done l'shem shamayim, l'shem habot v'sater. Whenever it's not done l'shem habot v'sater, so many achrenim hold, it remains the surah.
So
another
thing, for every time they use, they couldn't. So I thought it had some special harat job that came up with,
that
was
the kapha
shah,
we still have the harat shah. Not with her. In every generation, if someone has some Torah Shabbat that he's afraid is going to be forgotten, so it's included in the Hayrosh.
So we have variety from the Torah, because
say that the reason why the Gro only wrote Ma'amim Tarnas is because he held that to write more than that would be unnecessary. Whatever is unnecessary remains in the East. Right. He held that the East still applies to Ma'amim. It's only Musaf to spell things out to the extent that it's necessary Shalot to talk and have to. He felt just to write the amount of time to be sufficient. That's how they say, the name of the Gro. Right. That's a shadow. What is the nature of the Yisr? Why is there an Yisr to write down Torah Shemacha? What's wrong with it? Imam Prag has a comment on his Pasuk in the Gurariya. He quotes the Gemara in the second Torah in Erevin with it. Gemara speaks about Aruf and the Eretz Nidah, Rechovim Minayam. Have there the Torah Shabbat Peh. The Torah Shabbat Stav is limited. Chof Talat Kishkar Kredi. That's all. It's not so much. Yishitak and Estri. It's not so much. It's not so much. It's just enough. Right. No, the Gemara says in Erevin that pasuk, Aruch on the Eretz Nidah, Rechovim Minayam, is referring to the Torah Shabbat Peh. All of the Torah Shabbat Peh that's developed throughout all the generations. So he suggests that maybe this is the reason, not he suggests maybe, he claims this is the one and only true reason, because any other reason that's given is wrong. Right, so often very sharp. So this is the one and only true reason why the Torah Shabbat Peh had to be transmitted, Dafke Bal Peh, not the Ksav, because if you give it to Ksav, people would tend to freeze the Torah, freeze the halacha, and that's it. Says it like people do with the Mishnah Berurah. Says in the Mishnah Berurah, and that's the one, and you can't budge. So it's not supposed to be frozen, it's supposed to develop more in every generation, it's supposed to develop more, it's supposed to be more and more. Aruka Meiris Midas. He claims that that's the one and only reason. He says, look at the Gemara and Erevin, and you'll understand that that's the Gemara and Erevin. Rather doesn't say that that's the reason. He claims that that's clearly the reason for this thing. In order not to freeze the development, in order not to stifle the development of the Torah Shema Tzeh.
I mean, it's not that we had the effort to write down Torah for about many years, and it hasn't frozen the development. And they write more and more and more.
Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it did, sometimes it didn't.
It was limited more if you didn't write it down.
You wouldn't write it down.
Then, you know, only the important
At the end of the Sefer, the Chumash seems to say that when Moshe Rabbeinu said over the dinim to Bnei Yisrael, he didn't wear a masa. And when he finished saying the dinim, when he finished giving over the halachas that he learned from Hashem, then he covered over his face, because the people couldn't take Koran or Pnei Moshe. His face was shining so much they couldn't take it. The Kol Zman that he said the halachas, they could take it. Why was that? Because it's only 5 minutes a day. 5 minutes a day told them a din that they could take, and then the rest of the day was too much. Or not so, as the tradition seems to have it a little differently, that Kol Zman he was saying the dinim, it was Shechina Medaberes Mitoch Ranai, and then it was like a repeat of Maimon HaSinai, so that the Rebbeinu Shlom gave them the koyach to take. And when he wasn't saying the dinim, when he was just greeting them and saying, how are you, good morning, how are your children, how are your babies, and who's getting married, and so on, he was talking about him, but there was no repeat of Maimon HaSinai. So at that time, the shining countenance of Moshe Rabbeinu bothered them. But this is the way was tradition has it, that this was one of the simanim that Shechinu Daberes and Tazman, the fact that they couldn't take the Koran Pnei Moshe only at the time that he was saying the dinim. Apparently when he was saying the dinim, he wasn't saying with his own koyach. There was something supernatural going on at that time, namely Shechinu was Medaberes and Tazman. The Medrash has a comment on this, Mehechan Zoha Moshe Karnei Hoi. Where did he get these kind of hopes? Some sort of different suggestions in the Medrash. But one suggestion the Medrash has is, one Amora says, that Yoshin is Tyre Bekulman. When he was writing the Sefer Torah, he's writing down the Dinam that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was dictating, so there was a little ink left over in the pen. The Medrash says, how did the ink make him get a shining face? Very unclear. So Vechik, the Rav, used to be fond of saying over this Medrash with the interpretation of the Balatanyan of the Kute Torah, and his Jewish statement. On the Parshios and the Moedim, he writes the following interpretation, that whenever you have a great Odom Godel, so he transmits and he transmits and he gives everything over that he possibly can, but even after giving everything over, there's still so much more that he can't transmit, can't give everything over. So that's the ocean, the side of the Kulmazim that's left in the pan, with all the books that a person writes, all the books that an Odom Godel writes, there's still a lot left that he can't transmit out of. So Moshe Rabbeinu had a lot of the ocean, the side of the Kulmazim. He couldn't transmit everything. So I told him to write the whole Torah, and there was a lot of ink left. So that represented because his godliness, that the godliness was just shining out of him. And then the Balatanya suggests, Al Derech HaRemez, that maybe the Gemara has a Menachas Adin, that when you write the third Shem and the Mezuzah, you have to have Mukav Vil. You shouldn't have the Yosef touching, you have to have every letter has to be surrounded with empty space. So he suggests, Al Derech HaRemez, and maybe the Mukav Vil is to represent this also, that for every letter that you have in the Sefer Torah, there's so much empty that has not been written. You can write the whole library on every letter in the Sefer Torah. There's so much more to be written, so much Torah Shabbat Peh to be developed on every Yosef in the Sefer Torah. And you have to have Mukav Vil. If you don't have Mukav Vil, the Sefer is possible. Because every letter has a lot, there's more Gvil, there's more Kedusha in the Gvil than there is, so to speak, in the Din is not so. But in a certain sense, there's more chesed in the Gvil than there is in the Ksav. The Ksav is limited, and the Gvil represents the whole Torah Shema Peh. So much more that couldn't all be written down. Not everything can be written down. The Rebbeinu Shlom left us a big job. We have a lot of Torah Shema Peh to give up. What's the story? Sunday, Billy Netta will try to finish the Chazorah on the Gemara. Monday, Yisrael Hashem, we'll have to have a Pchina early in the morning. We've got to learn the Gemara Shir at 11 o'clock. We'll have a Pchina at 10. Open the bracha as mugal kavito. Zayin pasachas bebarach. Even if the previous bracha is a bracha k'tara, because mugal kavcham is mugal to the psicha of the previous bracha. Rabbi Tam holds no, the smukha lochavita is only the previous bracha as a bracha aruka, which had a chasima. So the chasima of the previous bracha serves as a psicha for the next bracha. What exactly does this nusach bracha mean that we recite by a wedding? Ashiyat es adam etzalma b'tzelam demus tavnis tav hikfulam imena binyan adayat. The simple reading is Ashiyat es adam etzalma kama. After his bracha created man, b'tzelam alakim. Based on the chumash. Then we say b'tzelam demus tavnis al kama in his image. In the image of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, b'tzelam demus tavnis al kama. Of whose image? Of the image of God. That's a simple shot. Kama. Hiskilon imena binyan adayat. Hiskilon mi menu. And he was mistaken from Adam Arishon, he made from Adam a wife that would be able to, being an Aliyah, will be able to give birth to children. The Chava was created from Adam for the sake of giving birth to children. That's the simple pshat. The Shita Mekubet, the Sananda, quotes a Taina from Rishonim. In the Chumash, the word Selem is used even in an instance where there is no physical object, like the Selem Elikim Asa to Adam, the Salmo. Yotam Salma. Salam is okay, but the mood in Tabnis, the Taina, the Rishon Taina, where do you find in Tanakh, and the brachas have to be recited in the biblical Hebrew? That's an assumption that most of the Rishon is doing. The Rishon disagrees with that whole assumption.
They say
it was
Rukhul.
I don't know. Bakasha. Did he love Yotam? Bakasha. You have a few good kashas, very good kashas. But the Rishon seems to be assuming that it disputes this assumption also. There's a whole attack. But the Rishonim all assumed that's the whole theme of the Sefer Avodram and the Ben Yarchi and the others, the Sefer Manish. They quote the source of Tanakh for every single phrase in the bracha and davening. Every phrase in the bracha, every word in the bracha has to have a makom Tanakh. So where do you find in Tanakh that the mus or tapnis is used in connection with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who is Einu Guf, Einu Matsigi Aguf, Einu Shum Dinyin Klau? He has no dinyin. When we talk about the mus, the mus is a dinyin. He has no dinyin, has no tapnis. So that's why others have a different nusach in the bracha. They quote from some of the Goyim, from Simcha Zelig, the Zayin of Bris, used to pray a bracha like that. Instead of saying, Ashirat Tzalam Tzalam Kama, the Tzalam 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 referring to the Tzalam 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 Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, they would recite, Ashirat Tzalam Tzalam Kama, Shem created man in his image, in the image of the Tzalam Shel HaShem Yisbar, Kama, Ubitzalam, they would put a vav here, not the Hiskin. And he created Tavra, it looks like Adam. And he created Tavra, it looks like Adam. He created Tavra, instead of taking a horse for Adam, instead of taking a donkey for Adam, he got a Tavra, who looks like Adam. He created Tavra, he created Tavra, he created Tavra, he created. No. Simcha Zelig preferred that Nusach, which appears in the big city, the quote of the Rabbi Goyim. Sadigan had that. The Vav should be in the beginning of Ubitzelem. Instead of the Hiskin, he said the Vav before Ubitzelem. So his son, Simcha Zelig was a dying in Bris, by Rav Chaim. Can you quote him in the same? So his son used to teach here in the college. He used to teach about Dr. Reed. He passed away a few years ago. So his son, whenever he would be at a wedding, he would always insist that he wants that bracha, and he would say with his father's nusach. Yeah. This and nusach. In order to say the Vav, to switch the makom of the vav. Instead of the hiskin, you would say, who be telling the son, he's like, hiskin. You pronounce hiskin. So he would explain to the student how he would say it, but he didn't pronounce the hey. He said, hiskin, my man. Okay. Father was a very great man. Nice, the Gemara quotes that Rabbi Yehuda Omer after Beis Ha'Erusin, Mevarach HaMoedim, on Dav Zayin Amud Beis. Rabbi Yehuda says that they used to recite Brichas Nisuin the Beis Ha'Erusin. Are you talking? What kind of business is that? Why do they recite the Beis Ha'Erusin? He said Brichas Nisuin. The Taisis explains what's going on. This is a very important Taisis Halacha L'Maisa. So the Tisha Tamin Bo Aleh Hashalai L'Shem Chupet. Because sometimes the din is that Arus La Asa La Bo Aleh Rishasa. This is Rabbanon Alpi Tashi. Asa Lanu Asa Rusa Hita Lanu Asa Nesu Asa Lanu. So it's not the first that he brought La Rusa. It is the pasuk that it's not the love of La Rusa. So the pasuk is that it's Anita de Rabbanon. Some Shem says Anita de Raisis, very Shlem. Because you say that she can go better, quote to him, the Abu Dram quotes a day like that. Very, very, not to be believed. That you say, Vitibano Allah Rais, Vasavano is Arusa. Since Arais are their Rais, Arusa is also their Rais. What's the Easter? They say it's Anita Kuris. It's Anita Rashis Ish. If the Nisuan to the Asia City is metallic with violence, she's only Asura to everybody else. During the state of Erisin, she's even Asura to her own husband. So that he violates an Isra Asia Sish.
The Raya from the Brahman?
The Raya from the Brahman.
The Brahman and Nisuan and Mr. Rabbanan. Right. The Brahman and Mr.
Rabbanan. Yes. Yeah. No, they claim the Raya is from the juxtaposition of Araya with Arusa. Asalana is Araya. Sivana while Araya is Lindy. Araya is their right. Asalana is Arusa. It's probably also an Isra their right. No, so the answer is not necessarily so. The Rambam writes explicitly that Isra Arusa is only a different person. It's not an Isra Deraita. The Pashtus is like that. The Yerushalmi says in the Pesachim, the famous Yerushalmi says that Abal Arasas is based Chalmav gets Makas Mardis. You see that it's not of Pashtus, not an Isra Deraita. And the Yerushalmi says whoever eats Matan Er Pesach is violating an Isra which is comparable to Abal Arasas of the base Chalmav. If this is an Isra Kareh, eating Chalmav, eating Matan Er Pesach is an Isra Kareh. How can it be that that's an Isra Kareh? It's only the Rabbanon, so the Pashtus and Yerushalmi that it's only the Rabbanon. So very difficult. Gosh, he could chuyim again. So what does Tosafot say about
it?
Since you say Arayis, and right after that you say Biyasalana Sarusa, it's Mishima. No. So since you say them both together, so that's a hachacha, but just like Arayis is their right, so too Arusis is their right. It's also not a right. You say that Arayis are the Rabbanon too. You have Arayis the Rabbanon, you have Shmiyasa. I don't see what the whole halakha is. Anyway, that we assume that the Yisra Arusa is only the Rabbanon. But there is an Yisra Arusa. The Taisa says, the fish of Talmud Bo'ale HaShalor Yishen Chupa. Rabbi Yudah apparently knew his customers. He knew his balabash. He was afraid that the chas may be Bo'ale HaRusasa to Beit Kalmav HaShalor Yishen Nisun. If he's Bo'ale HaRusasa Nisun, so that's the Nisun. So he's fine. That's okay. But if he'll be Bo'ale
HaRusasa.
That's the Shaila we discussed. But in the 80s, we came out of the Nisun.
If you don't need
Aden,
then
Kavan
will be all
Aden. If you don't need Aden, so all you need is that you should have
Kavan. It's just very easy to avoid.
Every Yisra has an easy way to avoid. You just have to know halach a little bit. Every problem has an easy solution. Has a solution. Not always easy. Every problem has a solution. The Taisa says, we are afraid of Yudah. We're afraid that he may be Bo'ala al-Shalom Hashem soon, in which case he will violate the Yisra. So whatever the Yisra is. According to that awkward sheet of the Nisa de Reis, and according to the accepted sheet of the Yisra de Rabbanon of Otolov al Arisosan. So in order to prevent the Chosim from violating that Yisra, they would recite the Brichas Nisuin when they made Erisin right away, so she wouldn't any longer be a Kalav Le Brach. She'd be a Kalav Le Brach. What do you mean a Kalav Le Brach? I mean that they had Nisuin then. They made Nisuin already then. And what does Tosafot say, Letisha Pam Bala Shalot Hashem Kufa? And what if it be Bala Hashem Kufa? That there wouldn't be an Yisra. Why wouldn't there be an Isar, but they wouldn't say the Brichas Nisuin? The Sifan Taisa, the Kala B'lai Bracha doesn't mean B'lai Bracha, it means B'lai Nisuin. If he's B'alei L'Shem Nisuin, there wouldn't be any problem. Only if he's B'alei L'Shalei L'Shem Chupa, then it's a problem. So how do you solve the problem by reciting Brichas Nisuin, the base everything? So it doesn't mean Brichas Nisuin is a matir. Brichas Nisuin is not a matir, Nisuin is a matir. They said Brichas Nisuin, and they made Nisuin then. That's what it means. Well, the question is, if they made Nisuin then, so what kind of a pantomime did they go through 6 months later when they decided they're going to have Nisuin, they're going to move in together into the apartment, and then they're going to walk down the aisles and under the canopy, then they're going to recite Brichas Nisuin and celebrate Shivas Me'al Mishkan and have parties, show brachas and so on. They already had Nisuin 6 months ago. So what are we celebrating Shivas Me'al Mishkan now? It's way yesa. What are they standing under the canopy for? That was the question that someone asked before. What, by the Bu'ula, what is the purpose of standing under the canopy? And according to those personal hold that by a bu'ula, the chuppah is not famous because it's in the middle of the room or whatever, for whatever reason, what are they standing under the canopy for? So the same question is to be asked over here. According to the practice of Rabbi Yudah, not the opinion, according to the practice that Rabbi Yudah instituted to his balabatim, he knew whom he was dealing with. His balabatim, he was Christian, that there'll be ball out of source of faith, come up, shalom, the shame is doing, in which case they'll violate an issue. So he said, they're not only going to make everything, I'm going to make this soon as well. Why do they have a chuppah later? Okay, I don't know. It doesn't say, but I'll be fast. I would assume that they had a chuppah later on. I would assume that the chuppah was just a shvua. The chuppah was not an issue.
It's the window.
The chuppah was not an issue. The chuppah was established in Simcha B'Yama. The chuppah was established in Simcha B'Yama. To designate, to demonstrate the fact that you're going to move in together and you're Simcha now. So that's the same by the Be'ulah. The chuppah is established in Simcha B'Yama. So the question is, but then, by the chuppah that's only in Simcha B'Yama, so what do they celebrate Shirik in the Amishta for? Shouldn't they have celebrated the Shirik in the Amishta earlier? From the I assume that they celebrated the Shivas Namishta later, a half a year later, a year and a half, 2 years later, whenever they made the chuppah later, the fake chuppah, the frua, they would begin to celebrate the Shivas Namishta and have the Sheva Brachas and the parties later. They wouldn't go to work later. So what is he celebrating Shivas Namishta later? It doesn't have to be the first 7 days after the chuppah. So you see that it doesn't have to be Akhat. It doesn't have to be the first 7 days after the chuppah. You can do a chuppah now and celebrate the Shivas Namishta way later. I'm not interested. Oh, so that's the shot. That's the shot. So there is a Rambam like this. The Rambam quotes the Din Hilchas Ishur, the name Yaron Simcha B'Simcha, but he gives you the following case. Yesh lo lo'odam lisa kama noshim b'yoy mechot. Before the Chayim Rabbein Gershon, the man wants to marry five wives. So he says, the Rambam says he can marry, he can make him soon to five women all on the same day, provided the Bavash yitzmachem kolachas mehem simcha haruyolot. He has to give each one Shivat Me'am Mishka separately. Let's say he marries Rachel, Esther, Dina, Leah, and Shoshana, married all five on the same day, so he has to celebrate 1 week with Rachel, 1 week with Dina, 1 week with Leah. Each one has to have a separate week with Zachazah. So you see the foolish from the Rambam, even though he had all the five acts in the Surah on the same day, he postponed the Shivat Me'am Mishka till 7 days later. The next Shivat Me'am Mishka till 7 days later. The next Shivat Me'am Mishka till 7 days later. The question is, what is only marrying one wife? Only one wife. He's a monotheist, only believes in one God, and one wife, and one husband, and that's all. One wife. So can he get married now? Let's say he's getting married now, and he's going to travel to Eretz Israel, and he would like, and it's going to be hectic, so he travels, it's going to take 2-3 days to get there, so, and he wants to celebrate the whole Shivat Me'am Mishka in Eretz Israel. Can he postpone the Shivat Me'am Mishka for a later day? The chuppah should be on Sunday, and the Shivat Me'am Mishka should be starting from Wednesday through next Tuesday. Can you do that? For your own reason. Maybe the case in the Rambam is only because it can't be chal. The Shivat Me'am Mishka cannot be oila for Leah. It's oila for Rachel. The next one is for Leah, the next one is for Dina, the next one is for Sarah, the next one is for Shoshana. It can't, the same 7 days can't be oila for different women. So they know it's a chal because of any other simcha the simcha. So maybe only in the case that it can't be chal, maybe then you can postpone it. But if it could have been chal now, maybe then Allah says that it is chal now. So the Rav Dovid Karlina, in the Tiske Allah, and the Rambam writes, that he thinks that it's only in that case when it can't be found out. Saman, you're all arbitrarily, you want to postpone it to later, he thinks that he can't do that. But the Shaila is with our tesis, I think the Pashup Shat and our tesis in Rav Yudah is not, I think Rav Yudah understands all these Pshuta, that they made the Birchat Nisuin now, they were Kainad Nisuin now, therefore it was Mutalo Lo Vala, it wasn't an Arusa. And nevertheless, I think they went through a chuppah later, when they decided they want to move in together, went through a chuppah later. There was a fraud, just with Simcha B'Yalma, a decision that they're going to move in together. And then they celebrated the Shivat Me'am Mishka. I think the Pashtus is, it doesn't say the Feish, but I think that's the Pashtus over here. That Rav Yudah holds at least, and maybe the Chacham disagrees, I think Hafiz Pshut, Rav Yudah is on the opinion, that you can always postpone the Shivat Me'am Mishka until a later date. Okay, and with this I close. I have to go to a wedding. Here's the finish.
Check the ring.
People have a... Check the ring. Okay. Whoever wants can write the answers either on the question sheet or on the answer sheet.
Should be in your locker?
No, I'm going to have a practice, I think.
Oh.
Someone has to write the sheet. You have a choice of 10 out of 13. Three questions in the finish.
Hey, you're going to make a penis. Oh, yeah.